Legal story now. Closing a three-year investigation, Attorney General Eric Holder announced yesterday no one will be prosecuted for harsh interrogation techniques carried out by the CIA that resulted in the deaths of a prisoner in Afghanistan in 2002 and the death of a prisoner in Iraq in 2003. In a written statement, Holder said there would not be sufficient evidence to move forward with a conviction. Joining us now is Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School, author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. She joins us from her office in New York City. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, a three-year investigation seems like it was in a serious attempt to get to the bottom of this, yet no prosecutions suggests we don't know much more now than we did at the beginning.
Well, it suggests you and I don't know that much in the general public. I think that government officials probably know more than they knew before, but they don't think that they know enough to bring this to trial, or at least that's what they're saying.
What are the prosecutorial triggers here? Would someone have to have waterboarded or be caught with a picture of waterboarding or have done something that qualifies very explicitly as torture? Does the death alone simply not qualify as grounds for suspicious or unwarranted interrogation techniques?
Well, it would qualify for grounds, but whether or not they can prosecute is what the government seems to have been all tied up over. And I think that one of the issues, and we don't know exactly what made them make this final decision of not to go forward with criminal prosecutions, but one of the issues has been from the very beginning that the memos that were drafted by the Office of Legal Counsel in August of 2002 were extremely explicit and detailed about what could be done and what couldn't be done. And within those memos, they allowed an awful lot that could be done to people that would have been accepted as torture, defined as torture almost anywhere in the world. And so as a result, one of the excuses that the government has used is, well, so much was authorized that we can't go forward with a criminal prosecution. Now, to your point, which is, you know, do we have pictures of who did what, when, where, and why, and can we assess? We don't know the answer to that question.
And is it the case that these memos enlarged the gray area so much that the idea of prosecution on its face is almost impossible?
It's very difficult. These memos allowed an awful lot to happen, and the detail in which they were written was staggering and makes it very difficult. For example, one of the less abusive techniques had to do with how you were allowed to punch somebody. Could you have your hand open or could you have your hand closed? If you're going to get to that level of detail in a legal memo, then how is it that you're going to be able to describe exactly what happened? How many pictures would give you that kind of detail? So, yes, I think it could have been an issue.
And the assumption in the memo is that it's perfectly okay to punch.
Yeah. The assumption in the memo was that it was not just okay to punch, but to wall people, which is to push their head back against the wall, to use certain kinds of sensory deprivation, et cetera, as you know.
Now, Gul Rahman, who was one of the prisoners here, suspected of being a militant, who died in 2002, was shackled to a concrete wall in near-freezing temperatures at a secret CIA prison known as the Salt Pit. Apparently, there's evidence of this. On its face, doesn't that violate some U.S. guidelines?
Well, of course. And it violates international guidelines, and it violates not just domestic law, but the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But the question is, and I think this might have been the phrase that the government used or that someone used in commenting on this, is that, you know, what can actually be presented in court about who did what? The death of somebody in U.S. custody under those circumstances is obviously somebody bears some responsibility for that. Didn't happen just by itself.
What is the worst case scenario in terms of what we suspect might have happened to these prisoners, aside from the shackling? And prisoner number two was photographed with his corpse in plastic packed in ice, although that might not have had anything to do with his interrogation.
Right. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's that about? And you asked me what the worst that can happen was. I mean, you don't really want your imagination to go there. We know about the waterboarding. We know about the use of drills to frighten at least one individual. We know about the beatings. We know about the things that were done in the name of the United States. And perhaps the most disturbing thing about this is that they were done in the name of protecting national security. And so for many of us, it's very hard to accept the fact that our protecting national security would hinge on something that is so brutal and ultimately useless. And so, you know, you ask what the worst could happen. I think the worst that can happen is not just the brutality to an individual or to a number of individuals, but the compromise it makes for what we actually think makes us safe. So.
Talking with Karen Greenberg, Director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Let me read you something. And it's the case that because these are CIA interrogations, they come under the Justice Department. If this was the military, it would be the judge advocate, right?
Well, if it were the military, they could have charged them. They could have chosen their venue, probably. But, yes, it might have gone to some kind of court-martial.
All right. According to this memo from Eric Holder, based on the fully developed factual record concerning the two deaths, the department has declined prosecution because the admissible evidence would not be sufficient to obtain and sustain a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt, the statement said. It said the investigation was not intended to and does not resolve broader questions regarding the propriety of the examined conduct. Now, that's legalese, but is what they're saying there basically, we permit a broad number of interrogation techniques that makes it almost impossible to get a slam dunk conviction, and therefore we never want a court case that would resolve the broader questions of how to interrogate. Is that what's going on here?
I think that's what's going on. I think also what's going on, whether or not it's in what you read, is that once they start to prosecute people for this, where do they stop and how high up would it go? And we can't get away from that fact.
Karen Greenberg, Director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School and author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. Reacting to the closing of a three-year investigation, Eric Holder yesterday announcing that no one will be prosecuted for harsh interrogation techniques carried out by the CIA that resulted in the deaths of prisoners in Afghanistan in 2002 and in Iraq in 2003. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.